Slipped a little, but we're good. So, yeah, my wife always makes fun of me because when I pray, she says I pray in ifs. Whenever we, you know, say grace or thank Jesus, I always say, like, Lord, thank you so much for just food, family, and friendship. And she's like, you got to, but anyway. So carrying on in that vein of alliteration, my preach is titled Faith and Faithfulness in Finances. But actually, yeah, the Lord told me it was a bad title because it's not actually a preach on finances. It's a preach on faith and it's a preach on contentment. But to get there, we have to go through this thing of finances. And it's a huge topic. You know, the Bible spends a lot of time teaching on finances. There's so much around money, wealth, possessions, and our hearts in the Bible. It's one of the things that was very, very often hit on. And this preach was actually born out of our City Bowl Pantry Fund. So I manage our City Bowl Pantry Fund, which is basically just a way that we can help members amongst us who are struggling. It's a resource, it's finances that we can sort of use to help all the members of our body through difficult times, which do come. And it is a financial instrument that we use, but it's primarily actually a discipleship tool that we use to try and help and coach guys through difficult times. And as a church, we really believe in opening up our lives and being vulnerable and sort of really opening ourselves to each other in a way that seems reckless to the world, but for us has always brought an incredible amount of life. And yeah, just one of the things we picked up through this whole pantry thing was that there's an area in us, as not just a congregation, but as a culture and a country at the moment, which we actually need to address. So culture is always pulling us towards the world. The world is always trying to, you know, shape our perceptions towards the world's view. And God is always trying to pull us back. And so we're always caught in this tension between word and world. And this is one of those areas, I think, that the world has spoken so loudly on that maybe we veered a bit. And I'm quite keen to try and pull us back a bit. So, yeah, I don't have 10 points to financial freedom. It's not going to be one of those kind of preachers. I don't have a, you know, PowerPoint presentation or a little spreadsheet that's going to help you. But I do want to actually just correct maybe our hearts and out of that place, you know, get there. And it's one of those difficult topics as an elder and as kind of one of the pastors in the church. Sort of the three areas you always approach with great caution is people's parenting, their relationships, and their finances. Like if you touch those three things, you're sort of treading on dangerous water. So what I'm going to do is actually use a trick that Ian played on me, where we had some kids and we went to do a parenting course with Ian. And he didn't sit down and say, right, cool, you're going to be great parents and, you know, I'm going to help you. He said, what do you want your kids to look like? So, like, forget everything else. What do you want in your kids? If you look 5 years, 10 years, 15 years down the line, what do you want your kids to look like? And we kind of gave him some answers and he said, great, that's your idea. So now I'm going to help you get there. And it was such an easy thing to do, actually, because we had decided what we wanted. He'd given us this kind of goal to aim at. And in aiming at it, he could help lead us there. And so that's what I want to do on this. So, yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about money, possessions from a kingdom perspective, and then there's one little aspect of it that I actually want to narrow in on when we get there. So one of the big things our culture does at the moment, it's this culture of instant gratification. And it's very natural. I love fast internet. Man, if you have to, like, download something and then sit and wait for it, it sucks. It's annoying. We are geared towards convenience, to having things done now. I remember when we first got internet, we had one of those little 56K dial-up modems, and you click on the thing, and then you go to the kitchen, and you make tea, and then when your tea's ready, you come back, and then you click on the page, and then you sit there, and you drink your tea while your page loads, and once it's there, then you go. If most of us had to do that now, we would freak. Okay, we don't like it. Shopping online. How horrible is it to buy something online, nice and convenient, then you've got to wait for shipping? 3 days. Long time. We don't like that. Sitting in traffic, it sucks. We're geared towards convenience, gratification now. And so it's such an easy thing to do. You know, the way the world is geared now, you can buy stuff now, you can pay for it later. You can get it now, you can worry about it later. And it's such a trap, actually, for us as a people, this thing of instant gratification, because often the Bible doesn't work like that. And Yeah, so the thing I actually want to give us to aim at is this thing of contentment, finding contentment in God and in what he says. And so, yeah, but to get there, we've got to go through this thing about finances. So the world tells us that the pathway to financial freedom is going to start with budgets, with a financial planner, with sound investments, with a paycheck, with salaries, with climbing the corporate ladder. And yeah, when you think about money and wealth and possessions, it raises one of two feelings. Mostly it's actually discontent. It's, man, I don't have enough. Or it's the sense of contentment there. So if I had that, man, I'd be so content. And yeah, it's sort of feels like a very natural thing for us to want to always have more. You know, even in biblical language, we're always talking about the more in God. And that's true. Like, God is lavish, and he's a great giver, and is exceedingly generous. But I often think that the more, we always kind of bring this thing back to finances. So we're going to read a decent amount of Bible today. I don't want this just to be financial planning according to Adam. I actually want to come against the thing that this culture that the world has put out, and bring it back to what the Word of God actually says. And yeah, so I've been having a bit of a strange relationship with my Bible recently, and this is a bit left field, so you might have to stay with me. But I felt this challenge from God when I read my Bible, to read it as if it is still true, as if it's still applicable, and as if it still requires a response from me. Okay, everyone's nodding, right? Until you start doing it. If you actually do this, it becomes quite uncomfortable, actually. It's quite hard, because a lot of what the Bible demands of us is not what fits into my life plan, if I'm dead honest. But yeah, the Word of God is the Word of God. So we're going to start off with 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 to 12. Okay, and it says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." Okay. Money is not evil. I love stuff. I'd be the first person to say, I quite like money. I like what it can do for me. I like the convenience it brings. So money isn't evil. Wealth and possessions are not evil. Your stuff is not evil. But the love of it, when it gets your heart, that is when it becomes evil. And so he goes on. He says, "But you, man of God, flee from all of this." So if you're here and you've given your life to Jesus, that's the command to you. Flee from all of this. And pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your confession in the presence of many witnesses, in the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession. I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, like we're singing about him this morning, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen. I love how he holds up these two pictures. He's like, there's money, which you didn't bring in. There's stuff which you didn't bring in. You can't take it with you. And then there's God, unapproachable, immortal, King of kings, Lord of lords, Father of everything. And kind of when you start to look at those two things balanced like that, it makes it, I know which way I want to actually go. And then he gives a command. He says, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment." Everything for our enjoyment. Richly provided by God. Not by a credit card. "Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life." I love that closing scripture. The life that is truly life is actually that. It's not the stuff the world tells us is going to give us life. Okay, so that was quite a long passage of scripture, but I think it illustrates what I want to hit quite well. But in case you think I got lucky and I just found one scripture that talks about this, there's more. Okay, so I really do want to set a biblical foundation for this thing. Okay, so Philippians 4, verses 11 to 13. This is Paul. He's actually thanking the church in Philippi. They gave him a gift. They sent some money through to him to help him. And he thanks them. And he says, thank you, but. He gives this big but. He's like, it wasn't just about the money. He says, I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned that the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Okay. Just have a third one to really nail this thing home. 1 John 2, verse 15 to 17. It says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. So you can't have both. Okay, God is jealous. He's exclusive. He says, everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lusts of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Okay, so you can pick it up now. The theme to contentment is not in stuff. It's always in God. It is always pointing back to God. And so we have this big tension now. We have the world, and we have the Word. And the world, and the Word. And the world, and the Word. And we've got to pick which camp we're going to go into now. And yeah, so the world tells us you're going to find security in having a pension fund, in having cool stuff, that you're going to find fulfillment in having the latest iPhone or shoes or car or whatever it is. There's lots of very cool stuff out there that you can buy. But it's all going. Okay, it's all going to burn. But God is immortal. Now, one of the big problems I have with the way the world does things is that it's always pushing us towards this thing of comparison. Okay, the whole marketing machine is out there driving this thing of comparison. It says, you don't have this cool thing. You need this cool thing. Those cool people have this cool thing. And I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah, I need the cool thing. I want to be one of the cool people. I want that thing. But the problem is that cool person there, he's looking at the next cool guy and he's saying, Flip, yeah, like what I've got is cool, but man, that guy, he's the cool guy. He's got cool stuff. Okay, cool, I'm aiming for him. And that guy, in turn. And so this benchmark that the marketing machine is trying to make us hit is constantly moving. Every time you get there, you're actually not there. You're just one level up. And so you keep going. And you never actually get to this place of full-on contentment. I've spoken to some very, very wealthy people. And they got lots of cool stuff and they do have a lot of fun. But contentment, that real peace, is not there. The Word, on the other hand, tells us that we'll find our contentment in Jesus. And things like righteousness, in his eternal life, in godliness, in faith, in love, in endurance, in gentleness. Okay. So the problem is you can't have both. If you read your Bible, like I've been challenged to read it now, I've got to choose. Like, man, there is the Word of God is what he's saying. And then there's the world. And I'll be the first to say this. The world gets into me often. I had such a good rebuke from the Lord a while ago. It actually came, I love Facebook Marketplace. I love just when I'm bored, I go on there and I just browse. I'm like, what's there? What's out there? And I had such a classic moment where this pair of Bluetooth headphones popped up. I haven't in my normal life ever thought I need a pair of Bluetooth headphones. But I saw these things, and something in my heart was like, whoa, oh, those are cool. I need Bluetooth headphones. And I promise you, I sat and then I got Googling, and I researched them all, and like, which ones are the best ones? Okay, those are like 10 grand. Okay, what's like a few levels down from that? And I checked out the specs, and I knew everything about Bluetooth headphones 2 days later after hours of, and I actually just had this moment of like, Adam, what are you thinking? You'd never needed Bluetooth headphones till you saw them. And then God actually came to me and said, right, Adam, your heart's out of control. So, and he told me, he actually said to me, he's like, Adam, I'm commanding you. No new things and no new projects until I say otherwise. Your heart is too wrapped up. And I was like, oh. And I had to, like, I told a few guys, I was like, oh, 'cause I feel like this is what the Lord said. Please help hold me to it. And for a long time, I couldn't buy new stuff. And it brought me so much peace and so much freedom. The pressure of, what should I buy? And it was gone. God was saying, no, you're okay. Just, you know. And so one of the things that that marriage course is going to probably teach you, or just marriage itself, is that you get away with far less. And you really do. You're living with a mirror that talks back to you a lot, reflects your own heart back at you. And, you know, recently we had our financial year end, and we're kind of renegotiating salaries and stuff with the bosses, and it's always a bit of a, you know, in the corporate world, it's a bit of a very respectful knife fight. And I was so frustrated the one day. I just looked at Ellie and I was like, man, you know, I just want to get ahead. And Ellie looked at me like I'd said I wanted to paint my face purple. It was just like confused, shocked. She's like, what are you talking about? We're so ahead. Like, we have each other. We have our kids. We have God. We have a church. We have, and in that moment, I was just like, oh, God, my heart. Man, I'm so ahead, actually, because I have Jesus. And, yeah, so that's kind of the picture I want to paint of these two camps that we've got to choose between. And I want to kind of narrow in down now on one of the things I hate the most, which is, and I really hate this, is credit and debt. And it's a trap that we've seen in the last while, steal so much life and so much joy from people. But it's also one of the biggest things that's sold by the world at the moment, is this thing of credit. And I don't just want to give you good advice. I want to actually back this up again biblically and see, like, what does God actually say about debt and wealth and possessions? And so what is credit? So credit is basically the ability of a customer to obtain goods and services now in exchange for the promise of payment later. Okay, so it's geared towards this convenient thing. Get it now, pay for it later. All right, very easy. You can literally spend money you don't have, and you can spend quite a lot of it if you really want to. But the nice thing, the thing is, credit companies, they don't just do this because they're nice. They're not trying to help you. They're not trying to, you know, give you the cool lifestyle you want. They're actually trying to make money out of you. So money has a time value, and the longer you borrow the money for, the more it costs you when you eventually pay it back. Okay, so quick little illustration. If you borrow $1,000 at 20% interest per annum, divided by 12 months, that's 16 rand, 67 interest a month. So if you pay it back 6 months later, you pay 1,100 rand. Okay, did that all in my head. Okay, but it's this thing, cool. I can get a thing now worth $1,000, and I can pay 1,100 down the line. Problem is, what I found often, before I've even paid that thing off, the shine is lost, and I'm kind of over it anyway, and I'm just stuck with the thing I bought in credit, and I still got to pay for it. Okay, so we have, actually, as a country, South Africa is renowned as having one of the worst credit cultures. It's actually a thing called credit culture. It's a culture. It's an entire worldview that people build their lives on. And I want to quickly give you some stats. Okay, so 22.5 million South Africans are active debt consumers. Okay, they like debt. And this is short-term debt. I'm talking short-term debt. 41% of these 22.5 million are considered high risk. 15% very high risk. Okay, so that means unlikely to repay or be able to repay. The ages 18 to 30, most credit accounts are for clothing, personal loans, and credit cards, so luxury spending. 53% of all debt is by the age group 30 to 45, so generally your working professionals are loving the credit cards. And 40% of all credit consumers seek debt relief every year. It's 40% a year can't pay and go and ask for help from the credit providers. 54% of South Africans spend 75% of their salaries on credit. Okay. There's a lot of money. Okay. Now, the great trap that credit is it promises you freedom. It says, cool, you can buy the stuff. You can have the cool stuff. You can go on the holiday. You can do the stuff, and you can pay later. It promises freedom, but it's actually a trap, because you put your hand in, and then it closes, and now you're actually caught by this thing. Okay, so credits, I just want to quickly redefine credit, but credit isn't always bad, okay? There's some credit which is good. So generally, good credit is any money you borrow to buy a thing that is worth more, grows in value. or loses value less than the interest accrues. Okay, so if you buy a house, it's fine. You have an asset that is worth more than the credit. So please, if you have a loan, don't feel condemned. Okay, most people buy houses on loan. It's fine. The house at least is worth more than the debt you have. The bad credit is credit that is bought on either a consumable, so food, holiday, something you spend it, it's gone, or something that loses value, so cars, clothing, that kind of stuff. Okay, so when you look at the credit stats that we have here, clearly as a culture, as a country, we've got this wrong. And having gone through the tough time we've had with COVID now and having the opportunity to look into some guys' budgets and sort of try and help people through this phase, we've actually realized that this thing is in the church. The culture of the world is actually in us. And it's easy because it's so normal. It is very normal to have a credit card. Disclaimer, I have a credit card. I do have one. I don't use it. It's just sometimes you have to, you can only buy certain things online with a credit card. So I have it. For me, I treat it as a debit card. So, but even that thing, it's you have to have it. They will post it to you without you even asking for it. All you got to do is click and register and, you know, boom. Okay. So one of the things we've picked up is that where we are actually operating as a, well, not everyone, but as a congregation, we've got this thing of there's the zero line. Okay, this is no money. Then below the line is credit. So this is how much credit I have. And the concerning thing is we're finding that often we hit the zero line and then we have credit. So cool, I can live in the credit zone. And I get some money and I kind of pay it up, not to get above the line, but I've still, now I've got some leeway room again in the credit. Cool, I can spend down to the line where I can't anymore. And what we're trying to do is actually get above that zero line of like living within our means as a people. So what does the Bible say about credit? Actually quite a lot. So I Googled this. There are hundreds and hundreds of scriptures that talk about debt, money, but I've just cherry picked a few here. So Romans 13 verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Okay. Let no debt remain outstanding. Psalm 37:21. The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. Proverbs 22:7. This one for me is the kicker. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. My translation says the borrower is slave to the lender. And that for me, that is why I hate credit. That is why I hate debt. It enslaves you. It owns you. Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other. You cannot serve God and be a slave to money. Okay. So the problem is that debt owns you. It actually owns a portion of you. Romans 6:16. Guys, these are literally just like, this was just searching on this topic, and there are hundreds of these kind of scriptures. It says, don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey. Whether you're slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. Okay. So that all sounds really heavy. I'm not trying to condemn us. You know, it is, we're fighting constantly against this world culture, and people spend billions trying to get us to buy into this thing of debt, okay? And it is so easy, and it is actually so normal that it becomes almost natural. People think you're weird if you don't have credit cards at the moment in our culture. But what I'm trying to actually do is, and I am hitting it hard and using some kind of hard scriptures because I feel like the world has spoken so much into this thing that we actually really need to speak into it strongly again with the Word of God. Not to kind of condemn you or say you've been really bad and, you know, but to actually help us into a place of real freedom. Financial freedom for me isn't having so much that you don't need to worry about debt. It's having contentment in what I have in God now. To have my freedom not linked actually to the stuff, but to Jesus, who is immortal and unchanging Okay. So, in preparing this preach, I was like, God, what is the point? Like, what is it that you actually want to give us as a people and as a congregation? And he said to me, Adam, it's this. I want you as a congregation and as a people to be living in a constant state of readiness to be obedient to what I'm saying. Okay, to be obedient to me and to my will and to the things I'm calling you to. And I was like, okay, cool, but you know, how does that kind of tie in? And I just thought, imagine being called to plant a church in another country. God speaks. He says, hey man, you're going to go and you're going to plant a church in a new country. You're going to take the gospel. You're going to win souls. You're going to win lives. And you're like, yes, I'm amped. But I have turned R1,000 of credit card debt. Okay, I can't leave the country. Okay, the wicked borrows and doesn't repay. I don't want to be wicked. I need to settle my debts. Man, but now I'm struggling. How can I be obedient to what God's saying and still obedient to the word of God, which is that I have to repay these debts? And so suddenly this debt thing is limiting your ability to actually be obedient. God asks you to give generously. 75% of most people's income is going to servicing debt. You can't actually give generously then. In that case, you're giving money you don't actually own. You owe that to creditors. You can't now be obedient. Tithing. Okay, if you're giving 75% to debt and 10% to God, that's not actually leaving you very much for the rest of life. Okay, so this is why I hate debt. Not because, you know, it's because it limits our ability to be obedient to the things God is calling us to. Hansi's story, that outreach to Hong Kong. Imagine he had -10,000 in his account. What are you going to do then? You can't go and, you know, it's so hard even to then exercise faith. And that's the thing for me. Credit cards, it's so second nature to us, this debt thing. And we land up relying on, it breeds self-reliance. And that for me is my big challenge. I'm kind of generally quite capable. And the biggest challenge I often have to find myself is this thing of, man, I'm going to make a plan. You know, I'm going to be self-reliant. And credit cards, it's so easy. I have a need. I don't have the money. Okay, cool. I'm going to make a plan. Whereas if you didn't have that thing, you'd be like, God, I need your help. Help me. You take it to him. So, now, the problem for me, so credit, it's not always just, you know, you wanted a new TV and you bought a new TV, or you wanted, you know, sometimes there are legitimate needs that arise that you just don't have the money for. You know, Ali and I, a lot of you know the story of our little boy, Jet. He was born and had some very complicated heart conditions and was in hospital for a long time with some crazy medical bills. And there were so many things that cropped up where we just, at a stage, it just felt like we were just, money was just kind of going. And that we felt God say, like, don't go into debt. I was like, okay, but it's my son. How am I going to not do anything to keep my, like, seriously, if it came to it, I felt like I probably would just swipe a credit card to keep him alive. If that's the choice, it's an easy one for me. But we felt God say, no, bring this thing to me. And so we did. We actually brought this thing to God, and we're like, God, man, we don't know how to do this. We don't know how to pay all these bills. Will you help us? We were looking back the other day. In that period, we were given about 250,000 rand from all sorts of people, people we didn't even know. At a stage, it's been crazy. Like, one of Ali's aunts started a prayer circle in her church in the UK, and then some other people heard about it, and then they wanted to give. And then, like, this money just kept coming from, we couldn't even figure out where it was from, but it was from all over. Even our unsaved family were so moved by this thing that they gave. Like, for me, God used unsaved people for his glory instead of us going into debt. And we got out of that thing not owing anything. We had no debt that we had to pay. And for us, that was such a testimony of faith. And it was a very dire, very real need. But I could quite easily have made that loan. The banks would have given it to me. Even though I know I probably couldn't repay it. But instead, we called on God and we, in faith, went to him. And he provided this incredible way. And when you go and you get into debt and you kind of buy stuff on a credit card, it actually robs God of the opportunity to come through for you and for his glory to shine. And so it's those two things. It's a trap, and it's just not God's way. He loves to lavishly bless us and be generous and wants us to rely on each other and pull into each other and to throw our requests in front of Him, the God who is King of Kings, owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and doesn't charge interest. Okay. In fact, He gives, often without any expectation that we repay. So, what does this mean for us as a congregation? You know, I don't want to give you 10 points, but there were a few key things that I felt like we really need to just put down as points to live by as people. And the first one for me is spend less than you earn. Okay, sounds quite straightforward. If you do that, generally, you're not going to get into any kind of trouble. Where you can, save. Always helps to have a little bit extra if you can do it. Prayerfully examine your needs and your wants. Okay. Lots of times I need things. I'm quite quick to present those to God. My wants, which I can afford, even those things, I'm training myself to be like, God, I want this thing. Actually, I do have the money. Like, geez, but what do you think, God? Where, you know, what is your heart in this? Submit your requests to Jesus and to each other. Avoid bad debt. Just be really careful of that borrow now, pay later. It is really a trap. Do everything in faith. Without that, it's impossible to please God. Okay, those are His words. And then, I suppose the big thing is, what do I do now? I'm in debt. What do I do? How do I get out of this thing? And for me, it's this thing we've been hitting from the start of this meeting, faith. Like, we have a King who has already paid debts that we couldn't. Our debt of sin, which is never repayable, He's wiped away. And we've seen this thing. We have so many resources here as a congregation. Guys who will walk with you and mentor you and pastor you and lead you through this thing. And I don't want to leave you kind of feeling condemned and heavy. Wherever you are, you can get out. You know, God is really able to help you. And I'd encourage you that if you do want help in this area, if you do want some advice in this area, come and bring it to us. Submit it to us. No one's going to judge you and look at your life and think like, you're wow, you really, you know, did badly. You know, we want to actually, as a people, bring everyone through into this place of freedom and of being ready and quick to be able to obey the things God is calling us into without this anchor of debt dragging behind us. And, yeah, I just, for me, I'm a lawyer and I love evidence. And that story of Jet for me was such evidence of these principles, such evidence of God's mercy and His kindness and His grace to us. And you can't argue with evidence. That's what I love. Like, I can hold this thing up and say, yeah, it's possible. Like, He's done it. We've seen countless guys come through this place of being really stuck and entrapped by this debt thing into really free from it. And it's totally doable. There's an old, it's not actually in Proverbs, but it's a proverb. It says, you know, the best time to plant a tree was 10 years ago. The next best time is today. Okay, let's start this thing today. As a congregation and as a people, let's change our spending habits even to reflect the kingdom, the word, not the world. Okay.